Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. All right, Montana Congressman Troy Downing going to join us today fresh from Crypto Week in Washington, D.C. What's this? I mean, we need to get up to date. Lawmakers are looking at the future of digital assets. How's Montana going to fit into that national conversation? Plus, we will dig into that one big, beautiful bipartisan bill, which was just signed into law, too, and what that means for, you know, our rural neighbors, energy, also crypto. Good look there. Some movement on the Department of Defense appropriations bill that would benefit Montana. So we'll catch up to date with Troy Downing, a fresh off 1,400-mile trip across Montana to visit you. What is Crypto Week? I'm just going to go right to one of the sources here and welcome our first guest. As I mentioned a bit later on, Sarah Swans is going to join us. Montana's unemployment figures are good, near record lows. Troy probably has a good word to say about that as well. But let's welcome Montana Congressman Troy Downing to the program here from Washington. Good morning, Troy. How are you?
Good, Tom. Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. So first things first, I know there's a lot of stuff to cover here and we'll get into policy, but I like when you get out there and you visit Montana, you know, the folk and the town and learn so much. And I appreciate that you guys, you know, are keeping us in touch with that using social media and other media sources. Tell me about the trip and tell me about what you take away when you go out there and visit.
That was a wild week because obviously the vote on the One Big Beautiful Bill Act took a long time. I mean, I was my second day in the same clothes without shaving and finally did that vote about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, had a quick press hit, ran to the airport, flew to Helena, landed just before midnight. And my wife tells me, guess what? You got to pack up the camper. We're camping with our daughter's in-laws up near Chester. So
yeah.
Next morning, packing that up in Chester. And I got to tell you, we got up there, threw a lawn chair outside and sat there and my head was still spinning, but it was good to have like a day or so there. And, we're up there on Tiber Lake with some friends and some new family members now that our daughter married a boy whose family farms up in Big Sandy. But
yeah.
I got to tell you, I was talking to the mayor of Big Sandy was up there with us, and I was talking to him, and I said, you know, when you go into Big Sandy and you've got that big sign up there that says, "Welcome to Big Sandy, home of Senator John Tester." I asked him if they could change that to "home of Congressman Downing's in-laws," but we'll see if that happens.
maybe we'll open up some kind of a contest for that and see what the, yeah. That's pretty
funny. I got to tell you, after that, we spent, 2 days, of R&R. That was the 4th of July weekend. And then just hit the road, and people, especially people in D.C., don't understand the scale and scope of Montana, how many miles you do. And so, went from there, went to Chester, went through Conrad, back into Helena, and then, there's a couple of places we haven't hit recently, so wanted to make sure that we, went and heard what their concerns were and allowed them to ask me questions. So we went from there into Billings, then into Baker. We went up to Sydney, to Glendive, to Circle. We ended up doing about 1,420 miles driving, and then you jump on a plane, you're back here, and it's 96 degrees and 100% humidity, and you're back in the swamp. But I got to tell you, one of the things that I love doing is, we try to meet with as many folks as we can. We meet with, county commissioners, law enforcement, organizations, it's just good to hear what's going on. Actually, one of the meetings that I had that was kind of made me smile is I met with Rick Holden up in Glendive, and he was one of the guys who ran against me in the primary. And just so many good ideas coming from his agricultural background on dealing with diesel exhaust fluid in farm equipment. In dealing with the issues that they're very much vocal about with wind energy in that area, with enabling farmers to use creosote for fence posts, just a lot of interesting stuff. And so I'm just really, really happy that, you know, you get through a primary and obviously you're competing against each other. But then, you know, we all care about our communities. We all care about our state. We all care about the industries that drive our economy. And we come together to, you know, exchange information and try to find solutions. And I just want to give a shout out to Rick for meeting with me and bringing, you know, a bunch of other folks there to talk about issues that were important to the, you know, far eastern part of the state.
Well, I appreciate that because, you know, I have seen that oftentimes if you have colleagues that you're working with, but, and, you know, it's fair, you're going to run against each other. Oftentimes it doesn't end that way, you know. So I'm very thankful that that happens, and I'm proud of the Montanans who make that happen. Again, Montana Congressman Troy Downing with us here. We have another until about 9:30. So if you want to get in and get a call here, we've got things on our plate to talk about here. But 866-627-5483 or text a message here 781-627-5483. Not going to quite dig into it yet here, although I know I'll be sorry later on. But I'm curious because, you know, you've done a lot of stuff, computer science degree from NYU. You co-founded WebCal that later merged with Yahoo, insurance, real estate, wild rye, craft distilling. That's probably one of your favorites as well. How do you, now that you're in Congress, right? Now, you're real, real busy schedule. You also served, and thank you for that as well, with the United States Air Force. Has it been difficult for you and Heather to make sure you have time where you're going up to Chester and putting it all behind you for a little while? How do you manage that, Troy?
Well, you know, the good thing is, you know, we have four kids and they're all adults now. So she can travel with me and yeah. She comes back and forth from me to D.C., which makes it a lot easier keeping, you know, you can't sacrifice your family. You need to make sure that you keep that together and that you keep that relationship alive. And I try to include her in as much stuff as I can in D.C., but she's found her own niche as well. I mean, working with these spouse groups with other members. And, you know, she hosted a bunch of Montana ladies to come out with a luncheon with First Lady Melania Trump. And, you know, she can do tours. And, I mean, she's found her spot. And, like I said, I include her in as much of the stuff as I can. And we're a team. And, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, how do you do it? How did you succeed in this or that and the other? And I'm going to tell you, it's not, there's no secret sauce. It's just teamwork. You know, make sure that you surround yourself with people that are part of your team that are additive and be very, you know, selective. I mean, obviously, you know, I just equated my wife to as a teammate. Obviously, she's much more than that. So don't take that the wrong way.
Right.
But even with the op tempo we have in D.C., you know, I think I'm probably approaching 100 bills that I have co-sponsored so far, and I've over a dozen that I've actually introduced myself. We're really busy, and the way that you maintain your sanity and actually keep your finger on the pulse of all the irons in the fire, mixing parts of speech there, but but you need to have a team that can divide and conquer, and you have to engage them so that they understand, you know, when something gets elevated, when something can be dealt with on a lower level, and you know, work really, really well together. And so, not just this part of my life, but even, you know, building companies, everything else, it's always been not about me. It's always been about the team, and that's just how we, you know, keep our sanity and continue to get things done.
Right, that's successful. Let's hit these issues now. First, the DOD appropriations. You said there was some. You're working to get some benefits in that Department of Defense bill for Montana.
Yeah, well, and this is done. We passed the DOD approach bill, and I got to say, one of the things that's exciting about that is we're getting back to regular order.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's tired of kicking the can down the road, and, you know, continuing resolutions and all the other stuff that we've had to do. So getting back to a regular order is important to a lot of us, and, you know, we're not 100% there yet, but we're moving in the right direction. But, you know, a couple of amendments that I put in there that brings a bunch of money, brings about $20 million back to Montana on the Defense Appropriations Bill. You know, one will direct funding to support the Montana Mining Association's project that's investigating rare earth element sources across Montana and developing rare earth element processing facilities at Butte, Sibanye-Stillwater, Anaconda, and Phillipsburg. And obviously, you know, we're the treasure state. We've got so much opportunity there in natural resources, and these elements are incredibly important, not just to energy, but to our national defense. So I was happy to get that in there. And then I've also got one that will support resource expansion drilling, engineering, economic and metallurgical studies for the mining of platinum, palladium, nickel, copper, cobalt, and other critical minerals through the DOD funding of the Stillwater Critical Minerals Program. And obviously, we've spoken about the Sibanye-Stillwater mine and that whole area. I mean, Nye is just rich with critical minerals. We've had some problems there with the markets on platinum and palladium. You know, what happened there was the Russians started dumping underpriced minerals into the commodities markets, yep. And that artificially drops the prices below where it would be economically feasible. So I mean, to put it really simply, you know, it costs them about $1,300 an ounce to take palladium and platinum out of the ground. And when the spot price hits $800 or $900 an ounce, you know, obviously, you know, they're losing money doing it, so it doesn't make sense. But the reason the price was so low is the Russians were dumping below cost minerals into the system, and they made up about 33% of the market. So I have a bill out there right now to prohibit that, because I think we need to, you know, not just tariff war with Russia, we need to have actual sanctions to keep them from, you know, affecting us and make it so that we can produce these natural resources, these critical minerals. We can produce these, you know, domestically, and, you know, just a, you know, cherry on the sundae there to be able to do it in Montana, because I think that's just incredibly important to, you know, the miners, to the communities, and to our state, but also to our national security.
An opportunity for Montana. Let's take this call as we open up the phones here. Time will fly by. Montana Congressman for the Eastern District is Troy Downing, a service member as well with the U.S. Air Force and the 129th Rescue Squadron, and served in Afghanistan. Let's go to Skip, Citizen Skip, listening in Hamilton. One big, beautiful bill on his mind. Good morning, Skip. You're on the air with Troy.
And thank you, Tom. And thank you, Troy, for getting on the air and telling us all of the details that you have. And I think that what you were just talking about with about mining and the amendment that you brought, and your knowledge of what we're doing here in Montana. And by the way, a whole delegation working together for so many things that you can all be in unison on, and it's just wonderful to have a delegation like that in Washington. I wanted to ask you, is there anything in the big, beautiful bill that you can think of that, I mean, there's so much stuff in there, is that we need to be careful of here in Montana in the future? Could you see any little things in there that might, you know, we should have our antenna up for it in case it could, it's not as good for us as some other part of the country. Or is everything just going to be fine? And I'll just leave it to you to pick up on that. I just want to know if there's anything we should have our antenna up for.
Good question. It's a big bill. There's a lot in it. I haven't found out what's all in there as well. And nothing's going to be perfect too, Troy. So I really like the question, Skip.
Never,
thank you.
You never get everything you want. And hey, I appreciate the question and actually appreciate the concern and the diligence wanting to understand. And as Tom said, you never get everything you want. There's always, you know, some concessions you have to make for the greater good. And I'm going to start with the greater good, because if we did not do this, if we did not renew and make permanent the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that would have been an average 26% tax hike on Montanans. That would have been about a 42 to 43% tax hike on Montana small businesses. And that's, you know, in Montana, that can be, you know, $1,280 for a family of four. In terms of yearly take home, with all of the provisions in this bill, you know, that's about $11,700 increase in yearly take home. But, you know, so many other things. You know, I talk about this all the time: the importance of agriculture, the importance of being able to feed ourselves, and supporting our farmers and ranchers. And I worry so much about losing production agricultural land to non-agricultural purposes. And so one of the things we also put in there is we made sure that the death tax didn't come back. We made that permanent, because you don't want to force the heirs of a ranching family to have to sell part of the farm or the ranch to pay their taxes. There's just so much good stuff in here. You know, the no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. And they've increased the Social Security exemption so that actually 88% of our seniors on Social Security aren't paying taxes. And there's so much good in here. You know, people talk all the time about rural health care. I care deeply about rural health care, making sure that we maintain these critical access hospitals. So this also invests $50 billion in rural health care and in telehealth. So that's awesome. Child tax credit up $2,200. You know, one of the things that I will say that I was not happy with, but I was, willing to, concede this to get the bill through, because I really think if we fought this one issue, it would have killed it, and that's the SALT taxes, the state and local tax exemptions, because, really what that does is it rewards states with bad tax policy by increasing the amount of their state and local taxes that they can deduct on their federal taxes. And I'm going to tell you, they put in an expansion of that, but it's temporary. And so that's really what allowed, me personally to be able to accept it, because I know in statute it's going to go away. It's a five-year expansion, and then it goes away. And taking that concession to get all of this good in there, I think was worth the price. But again, you've got, 435 members of Congress. We've got a small majority on the Republican side, and you get one or two people that have issues, and that can kill the whole bill. So everybody had to take something that they may not have been happy with to get this what I believe is an historic and probably one of the most impactful pieces of legislation that a lot of us will ever see in our career here.
Yeah, and I'm acquiescing to that as well. I didn't like the nature of the big bill, although we're back in regular order for the most part. But, and I know a lot of people have trouble with that, but you can't let, perfect be the enemy of the good here, too. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I can appreciate this. Montana Congressman Troy Downing is with us. We'll catch up to date here shortly on Montana News with Brian Bennett here. Headlines upcoming. And Congressman Downing is a member of the House Committee on Financial Services. That's a very important committee, Troy, and some congratulations on being on that. But, as you come from that industry, former Commissioner of Securities and Insurance in Montana, let's hit crypto. I don't know what it is, don't know what it is, but there's a number of bills in front of the House. All that discussion this week, you guys have labeled it crypto week, so to speak. Tell us about it. Why is it?
There's three big bills. Some of it has gotten through, and we're voting again here tonight. Just really, really simply, we've got the Genius Act, which was the stable act in the House, and then it came back from the Senate as the Genius Act, is a framework for stable coins. There's the Clarity Act that establishes a regulatory framework for digital currencies in general. And then also the other one was an anti-CBDC, central bank digital currency, which I will tell you 100% of the Republicans are against the central bank having a digital currency. I mean, yes. That's something that the People's Republic of China do to keep tabs on their citizens.
Yep.
But let me break these down. First of all, the first one, the Genius Act, the Stablecoin Act, what that is it's a digital currency. So basically it's a digital marker that is backed by an asset. And in this case, we made it really clear that the asset has to be a U.S. dollar or a U.S. dollar derivative, like a treasury. And what that does is it allows folks to make payments outside of the traditional payment system, so outside of credit cards and debit cards and all that stuff. So it can streamline payment systems where you don't have to have a bank involved. You don't have to be paying fees for that. And the fact that we mandated that it is dollar backed, I think, is incredibly important to the United States of America, because it continues to encourage using the dollar as a global reserve currency and as a global trading currency. And the United States of America has the benefits we have in the world financial stage and has the strong economy we have because of that position. And I think that, mandating that this uses dollars as the asset that it's backed by bolsters that and helps the United States of America. So there's the Genius Act. So that's just for stable coins. It's basically a way of making payments in a streamlining payment systems, not having to use banks.
Are there 435 sponsors for the Genius Act?
Here's the thing about the Genius Act. Both the Genius Act and the Clarity Act, which is the regulatory framework, has fairly broad bipartisan support. And because we know that we need something there. And what the Clarity Act does is it creates clarity on whether a digital coin like Bitcoin or Ethereum, one of these digital currencies, whether it's treated as a commodity or treated as a security. And that was a big problem that I had is the as the securities commissioner, the last 4 years, is Gary Gensler, who was Biden's pick for running the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the last 4 years, was completely ambiguous on this. And so you have all these entrepreneurs creating this great technology in the United States of America, and he would regulate it by enforcement. So basically, he would look at it and say, no, I don't like that, and come after him. And you can't run a business like that. So what did it do? It encouraged folks innovating to start looking at offshore domiciles. And so, you know, the shining example of that was Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX. You know, he did that in the Bahamas, and one of the biggest financial meltdowns we've seen in my lifetime. I mean, probably, close to Bernie Sanders. I'm Madoff, sorry.
Right. Bernie Madoff, gotcha.
Freudian slip. Yeah. Madoff is what I meant to say, not Sanders. So what this does is it encourages innovation in the United States, and whether you use this or not, it's coming. And so we need to make sure we put some understanding of how it's going to be run. So those innovators, understand the framework of what they can and can't do and can plan their businesses around there, but it has to be permissive enough that they're not looking at doing it offshore like FTX did. But it needs to have reasonable sideboards to make sure that we don't have another big meltdown like FTX. So, I mean, these are bipartisan, good bills. And then the last one, as I mentioned, the anti-CBDC, I will tell you that this is going to be a more partisan bill because the Republicans 100% do not want a system of surveillance that, the CCP would use and is using to monitor the financial transactions of its citizens and cut off the financial transactions of its citizens. So this bill specifically prohibits the Treasury from doing that. And so this is something that the Republicans are very, very much on board. And I have not heard of any Democratic support on this yet. And I'm not saying there won't be, but I think this is going to be a much more partisan issue, but I think it's incredibly important because none of us want to go down that path where, the feds are monitoring every one of your financial transactions.
Yeah, it'll be a full-on fight.
I mean, there's folks that would be trustful in the current administration, but you have no idea what's coming down the pipe. We cannot give the feds these tools to monitor us.
Got to have the right safeguards. I appreciate that. I know you got to run too, Congressman, so I appreciate your time here. I look forward to chatting with you again. I get more information out of you in 25 minutes than I do with many other guests in an hour plus. So thank you for giving us that update, Troy. And thanks for the work you do. I appreciate that. Yeah.
You know, it's my honor. And, we try to be accessible. If anybody wants, just our official website is just downing.house.gov. We have a newsletter you can sign up for, or just reach out to our Billings, our Helena, or our D.C. office if there's anything we can help you with.
Yes, do that. Do that if you need that help. Congressman, thank you so much, and be well, sir. And say hello to Heather and all the friends up there, okay?
I will do. Thanks. Have a great day.
Montana Congressman Troy Downing. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.